And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. It doesn't matter whether you sing this hymn to the more arcane or the more familiar melody. There is a wonderful sentimentality to the images evoked in both text and tune in this little hymn. Small, out-of-the-way Bethlehem, prophesied so many years before to be the place of the Messiah's coming, is set before us as the place where past, present, and future, where prophecy, fulfillment, and promise meet, where they coalesce in the realization of humanity's perfect hope, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. The everlasting light has come into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Indeed, the hopes of all the years are met here in Bethlehem tonight. So beautiful. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. And yet the hymn causes me to wonder. Do past, present, and future, met together, form something of a disruptive, perfect storm that will dislocate mankind? Among the dulcet tones of the tune, the text, and this morning's organ introduction, hints at a darkness that remains, even in the presence of the lights. Not only are all the hopes met in the little town, so are all the fears. The fears of all the years, the combined fears of sinful mankind. The hymn's poetry makes the point that even the presence of a gracious God, a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, a prince of peace, the presence of this God disrupts human experience. Indeed, there is a hint of human despair that threatens to overwhelm the idyllic beauty of the manger scene, as it should be. For the Gospels show us that the presence of Christ disorders and confuses both those who respond to his call as well as those who seek to destroy him. The person of Jesus disrupts the status quo. He calls fishermen to leave their nets, tax collectors to follow him. Many reject that call. Some plot against him, and a few do in fact follow. His call to a life of service is, of course, simply a description of who he is and what he does. And the scandalous plotting that it provokes shows that the end of his life will indeed be a cross. And it shows that the lives of his hesitant followers, those then and you and me today, will be lived under that same cross. But it is the rejectors in particular who become the purveyors of those crosses. Herod's response to the coming of Christ is anything but silent and peaceful. It is outrageously violent as the baby boys of Bethlehem are targeted in a murderous holocaust. That murderous intent followed Jesus into and through his ministry, where violent responses finally found their culminating voice in the robust shouts of the crowds, "Crucify! Crucify him!" The pastoral beauty of this silent night, where all is calm and all is bright, and where peace reigns, the nostalgic idea that the manger was gloriously silent as the gift is given, comes apart in the remainder of John's narrative, even as John tells us will be the case. The true life, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. The fulfillment is before us in chapter 7 this morning. When they heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. By the 7th chapter of St. John, the people's impressions were becoming more focused about just who this Jesus is. Perceptions still indeed, for they were not entirely clear, yet the convictions are forming. Jesus had fed the 5,000, he had offered the bread of life discourse, and at the Feast of Booths, the issue really began to crystallize. And there was much muttering about him among the people. While some said, "He is a good man," others said, "No, he is leading the people astray." Later in this same chapter, the issue arose again. Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, "Is this not this the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? But we know where this man comes from. And when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to all the earth. The shepherd of Israel is the one who redeems chaotic human existence. Born of that virgin, born under the law at precisely God's time, Christ's coming presaged the manner in which he would carry the darkness of sin into himself once and for all. And even as weak and fleshly disciples failed to stay awake 1 hour and watch with him, even as they fled in the end, still he stayed on the appointed path from manger to cross to empty tomb, so that all creation, and you and I as well, may sing of the peace that now exists between God and men. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born to us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.